Hey everyone, welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today we're going to be tackling something pretty interesting.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to be looking at the psychology of poker.
All right.
Now, before you click away thinking, oh, I don't even play poker, you don't have to get a lot out of this.
Yeah.
We're going to be looking at the psychology of poker, but really what we're going to be talking about is decision making
Absolutely.
and how to make good decisions and how to control yourself in high pressure
For
situations.
sure.
We've got a whole stack of sources today. We're mostly going to be referencing Alan Schoonmaker.
Oh, yeah, he's a great resource.
He's like the leading expert on the psychology of poker. So
Definitely.
if you're interested in this topic after the show, definitely check out his work.
Yeah, for sure.
But one of the things that I found most interesting that he said
Okay.
was that the toughest opponent you're ever going to face in poker isn't the person sitting across the table from you,
Right.
it's actually yourself.
Oh, absolutely. It's
Yeah.
all about self-mastery.
Yeah. So that's what we're going to be exploring today,
I love
that
it.
internal battle that goes on when
Yeah.
you're sitting at the poker table.
It's so true because you've got the math
Right.
and the odds, but then you've got this emotional element
Yes.
that can really throw you off.
And we've all seen it like on TV,
Oh, yeah.
like people just totally losing it at the poker table.
The classic poker meltdown.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about this
Yeah.
thing called tilt.
Okay. So
Is
tilt.
it really like as dramatic as it sounds?
Oh, it can be. It can be extremely dramatic.
Okay.
So picture this. You're playing poker, you're having a good night,
Right.
you're winning some hands, you're feeling good.
Okay.
And then suddenly, bam, you get hit with just a brutal bad beat.
Okay.
You know, you lose a big hand that you were almost certain to win.
Right.
That's when tilt can start to creep in. Tilt is this state of mind where frustration and anger take over,
Right.
and it leads to, irrational decisions. You start making plays that you wouldn't normally make if you were thinking clearly.
So you're not thinking logically anymore.
Exactly. Your
Yeah.
emotions are clouding your judgment.
Okay, so are there any famous examples of this?
Oh, tons. I mean, one of the most famous examples is Phil Hellmuth,
Oh, yeah.
poker legend,
Yeah.
known for his, very theatrical outbursts at the table. I
Yeah.
mean, he's incredibly skilled, but when he goes on tilt, it's something to behold.
It's entertaining to watch.
Oh yeah, but also a cautionary tale.
Right, because you're saying that it can happen to the best of them.
It absolutely can. Tilt doesn't discriminate.
So it's not just about getting unlucky, it's how you react.
That's the key takeaway.
Yeah.
It's all about how you handle those bad beats.
Okay, so how do you train yourself
Yeah.
to like not tilt?
That's the million-dollar question, right?
Yeah.
Well, Schoonmaker says that the most important skill in poker
Okay.
is emotional control.
Interesting.
He actually compares it to being a surgeon.
Wow.
You need a steady hand, a clear head, and the ability to detach from the immediate situation.
Okay.
You can't get caught up in the heat of the moment.
So how do you train for that?
It's a process, and it starts with self-awareness. You need to understand your triggers.
Okay.
What situations or opponents tend to set you off?
Right.
Maybe it's a certain type of player. Maybe it's when you're running bad.
Gotcha.
Once you know your weaknesses, you can start building strategies to manage them.
Okay, so like what?
Well, it could be as simple as taking a deep breath,
Right.
stepping away from the table for a moment, or even having a pre-game ritual to get you in the zone.
Okay, like almost like a meditation.
Just anything that helps you to center yourself and stay calm under pressure.
So you're almost like training your mind like an athlete would train their body.
That's a great analogy.
Yeah.
You're essentially training your mind to be more resilient to tilt.
Makes sense. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Now, what about ego?
Ah, yes, ego.
Doesn't
Yeah.
win, especially, like when you're playing for a lot of money.
Right.
Doesn't that feed the ego?
It definitely can. An ego can be a real wild card in poker.
Okay.
Let's say you're playing against a really well-known player, someone like Daniel Negreanu, for example.
Okay.
You might find yourself making plays not because they're strategically sound,
Right.
but because you're subconsciously trying to prove yourself
Yeah.
against this big name.
Like you want to beat them.
Exactly. You want to show them who's boss.
So you're saying even something as simple as who you're playing against can affect your decisions.
Absolutely. The psychology of the game goes way beyond just the cards.
Wow.
Ego can lead to something called overconfidence bias,
Overconfidence bias.
like where you overestimate your own abilities and underestimate your opponents.
Right.
You start chasing impossible hands, throwing good money after bad,
Yeah.
all because you're too proud to fold.
Interesting.
It's a dangerous trap to fall into.
Yeah. So emotional control, we've talked about that. That's managing your own like internal reactions.
Right.
But what about reading other people? Ah, the art of reading minds.
Yeah.
Now, this is where poker gets really interesting.
Yes. Yeah.
Skilled players are like human lie detectors, constantly scanning for tells, those tiny behavioral cues that might betray what someone's really thinking.
So, like, what kind of tells are we talking about here?
Well, you know, you have the classic poker tells you see in movies,
right?
Like the twitchy eye, the nervous cough.
Yeah.
But those are often too obvious,
right?
Almost acted out.
Okay.
The real gold lies in the subtle stuff.
Okay.
Micro expressions, changes in posture.
Right.
Even how someone arranges their chips.
Gotcha.
It's about piecing together a puzzle.
Yeah.
Trying to get a read on your opponent's true emotional state.
Sounds like it takes a lot of practice and observation.
It does.
Yeah.
But it's a skill that can be developed over time.
Okay. Eh?
And, you know, good players also understand something called table image.
Table image.
Which is the persona you project at the table.
Okay.
It's about consciously crafting a perception of your playing style.
Okay, so you're saying you can actually manipulate your opponent's perceptions.
Absolutely. You can use psychology to your advantage.
That's pretty mind-blowing.
It is. It's one of the things that makes poker so fascinating.
So you're telling me that poker isn't just about cards.
No.
It's about people.
It's about people. It's a game of deception.
Yeah.
Where understanding psychology can be just as powerful as understanding the odds.
That's a really good point. That's a really good point.
Yeah, it's a constant battle of wits.
Wow.
Where the mental game is often more important than the hand you're holding.
So much more to it than meets the eye.
Oh, absolutely. There's layers upon layers of strategy and psychology.
This is fascinating. I'm really enjoying this conversation.
Me too. This is great.
Okay, so we've been talking about live poker, but I'm curious.
Yeah.
What about online poker?
Okay.
Is it all about like reading body language in person?
Right.
And then online, is it more just about the numbers?
That's a great question. And there are definitely some key differences. Live poker is like a stage play.
Okay.
You're in the spotlight.
Yeah.
Your every move is scrutinized.
Mm-hmm.
And you can feed off the energy of the other players.
Right.
It's a very visceral experience.
So it's more about intuition and gut feelings.
To a certain extent, yes.
Okay.
But even in a live game, you need a solid foundation of strategy and odds calculation.
Right.
You're just adding an extra layer of human observation on top of that.
Gotcha. So you're still using the math.
Always. The math is the foundation.
Okay.
But the psychology helps you to apply that math in a more nuanced way.
Okay. And what about online poker?
All right. So online poker.
Is it more like playing chess against a computer?
There are some parallels.
Okay.
Online poker often involves faster decision making.
Right.
And a higher volume of hands.
Mm-hmm.
You might be multi-tabling, playing several games simultaneously.
Wow.
So there's a greater emphasis on pattern recognition and quick calculations.
Okay.
You need to be able to process information quickly and efficiently.
So you need to be more analytical and less emotional in the online world.
In a way, yes.
Okay.
You can't get caught up in the theatrics or the trash talk. Yeah. It's a more cerebral experience.
Okay.
But even online psychology still plays a role.
Really? How?
Think about how players use their screen names.
Okay.
Their betting patterns.
Yeah.
Even their chat messages.
Right.
To create a certain image.
Gotcha.
It's like creating a virtual table image.
Interesting.
And because you're not face to face.
Yeah.
It can be even more challenging to decipher someone's true intentions.
Right.
Are they a reckless gambler hiding behind a screen name?
Okay.
Or are they a seasoned pro who knows exactly how to exploit the anonymity of the online world?
It sounds like both live and online poker require a unique set of mental skills.
They do. And this brings us back to a crucial theme we've been weaving throughout our discussion.
Yeah.
Adaptability.
Adaptability.
A great poker player is like water, able to flow and adjust to the changing conditions of the game.
I like that analogy. Okay, break that down for me.
Sure.
What does adaptability look like in action at the poker table?
Okay, so imagine you're playing a tournament. And you notice that one of your opponents is incredibly tight.
Okay.
They only bet big when they have a very strong hand.
Mm-hmm.
You can adapt your strategy to exploit this.
Okay.
Maybe you bluff more aggressively against them.
Right.
Knowing they're likely to fold even if they have a decent hand.
So you're using your knowledge of their tendencies to your advantage.
Exactly. Or let's say you're playing a cash game.
Okay.
And you've been on a winning streak.
Mm-hmm.
Suddenly your luck changes.
Okay.
And you start losing a few hands in a row.
happens to the best of us.
It does. Okay. Adaptability means recognizing this shift in momentum.
Okay.
And adjusting accordingly.
So what would you do?
Maybe you tighten up your play,
right.
Reduce your bet sizes,
okay.
Or even take a break to clear your head.
Right.
Sometimes the best move is to step away from the table.
Yeah, so it sounds like adaptability is all about staying flexible.
It's exactly.
Getting stuck in a rigid way of thinking.
Precisely. And this ties back to the importance of self-awareness.
Okay.
You need to be honest with yourself about your strengths and weaknesses,
right.
Your tendencies and your triggers.
Mm-hmm.
Only then can you truly adapt to the ever-changing dynamics of the game.
This is making me realize that poker is so much more than just knowing the hand rankings.
It is. It's a constant mental puzzle.
Right.
Where every decision has psychological implications.
Yeah. So
it's a game of incomplete information.
Okay.
You're always trying to make the best decision with the limited information you have.
Right. And you have to factor in
exactly
the other players and what they might be thinking.
And their emotional state.
Wow. And you know, one thing we haven't talked about is luck.
Oh, yeah. The big L word.
How much of poker is skill,
right.
And how much of it is just pure chance?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it?
It is.
And it's something that all poker players grapple with.
Yeah.
The truth is, poker is a game of incomplete information.
Okay.
You never know for sure what cards your opponents are holding.
Right.
And you can't predict what cards will come next.
So there's always an element of uncertainty.
Always. Even if you make the perfect play,
okay.
You could still lose.
So how do you deal with that? Psychologically.
That's where mental resilience comes into play.
Mental resilience.
You need to separate the short-term fluctuations of luck
right.
From the long-term arc of skill development.
So you're saying don't let a few bad beats
exactly.
Shake your confidence.
Don't let them make you doubt your abilities.
Okay.
Good players understand that variance is a part of the game.
Variance meaning like?
The ups and downs.
Okay.
The natural swings of fortune.
Right.
They focus on making consistently good decisions.
Okay.
Knowing that over time, skill will prevail.
So it's about having a long-term perspective.
Exactly.
And not getting too caught up
right.
In the emotional roller coaster of individual hands.
Poker is a marathon, not a sprint.
I like that.
And the players who succeed in the long run
yeah.
Are the ones who can weather the storms of variance and emerge stronger on the other side.
This has been fascinating. I'm really starting to see how poker
yeah.
Can teach you a lot about life in general.
It's a microcosm of life.
Yeah.
You're constantly making decisions under pressure,
mm-hmm.
Managing your emotions.
Yeah.
And dealing with uncertainty.
Yeah. And we're not done yet.
No, we're not.
There's still so much more to explore in this fascinating world of poker psychology.
Right.
But before we move on, I want to ask you about something that really stood out to me in our research.
Okay.
This concept of bankroll management.
Yes.
It sounds kind of dry.
I know, it doesn't sound the most exciting.
But I have a feeling it's more important than people realize.
It is.
So
yeah.
Is it really that crucial to the psychological game?
It's absolutely essential.
Okay.
Bankroll management is the bedrock of a sustainable poker career.
Okay.
Think of it as your emotional safety net.
All right. I'm intrigued. Explain how managing your money ties into the mental game.
Okay, so imagine this. You walk into a game.
Mm-hmm.
With more money than you can comfortably afford to lose.
Okay.
Every hand suddenly becomes a potential financial disaster.
Right.
That's a recipe for anxiety, fear,
yeah.
And ultimately bad decisions.
So it's like playing with scared money. Scared
money. Exactly.
Yeah.
You're too afraid to make bold moves because the stakes are too high.
Okay.
Good bankroll management takes the pressure off.
Right.
It allows you to play with a clear mind,
mm-hmm.
Knowing that even if you lose, it won't cripple you financially.
So how do you determine the right bankroll size?
Right.
Is there like a magic formula?
There are guidelines, but it varies depending on your risk tolerance.
Okay.
The stakes you're playing,
mm-hmm.
And your overall skill level.
Gotcha.
The key is to have a buffer that can absorb the inevitable swings of variance.
Right.
Without sending you into a panic.
So it's not just about how much money you have.
No.
It's about how much you're willing to lose without it affecting your mental game.
That's a great way to put it.
Yeah.
So it's about protecting yourself from your own worst impulses.
Okay, so bankroll management is almost like a form of self-control.
It is.
A way to protect yourself from yourself.
Exactly. It's about playing the long game,
mm-hmm.
Both financially and psychologically.
Okay.
And that brings us back to one of the core principles we've been discussing.
Okay.
Long-term thinking.
Long-term thinking. We've touched on that throughout this whole conversation.
We have. It's a recurring theme.
Yeah, but I'd love to hear you expand on how long-term thinking manifests in the world of poker.
Okay, so in poker, Long-term thinking is about shifting your focus from individual results to the overall process of improvement.
Okay.
Remember, even the best players in the world don't win every hand.
Right.
They experience losing streaks.
Of course.
They make mistakes. They get outdrawn.
That's part of the game.
It is. It's inevitable.
Okay.
So it's about seeing the bigger picture, not getting bogged down by short-term setbacks.
Great. Not tilting.
Exactly. Tilt is the enemy of long-term thinking.
So how do you avoid that? How do you stay focused on the long term?
It's about constantly learning, refining your strategies, and striving to become a more well-rounded player.
So you're always trying to improve?
Always. There's always room for improvement.
Okay.
It's about embracing the journey, not just chasing the destination.
That's a powerful message.
It is.
And I feel like it applies to so many areas of life.
Absolutely.
Not just poker.
Whether you're building a business, pursuing a creative passion,
right,
or simply trying to improve your personal life, long-term thinking is essential for sustainable success.
I love that. I love that idea.
Yeah, it's a powerful concept.
So much to think about.
It is.
And, you know, this has been an incredible journey into the minds of poker players.
For sure.
We've gone deep on emotional control, ego management, adaptability, bankroll management, and of course the importance of long-term thinking. It's all connected.
What's the most important takeaway you want our listener to walk away with?
I want them to understand that poker, at its core, is a game of self-mastery.
Self-mastery.
It's a battle against your own biases, impulses, and fears.
Right.
And the skills you develop at the poker table.
Okay.
Discipline, resilience.
Right.
The ability to read people, to make tough decisions under pressure.
Yeah.
These are skills that will serve you well in every aspect of life.
That's such a valuable insight.
Yeah.
It's a reminder that poker is so much more than just a game.
It is.
It's a microcosm of human psychology.
Exactly.
And a training ground for developing essential life skills.
I couldn't have said it better myself.
And that brings us to the end of our deep dive.
Already?
Into the fascinating world of poker psychology.
Time flies when you're having fun.
I have to say, I've learned a ton today.
Me too.
And I feel like I'm walking away with a whole new appreciation for the mental game.
That's great to hear.
So thank you for that. You're welcome. It's been a pleasure sharing these insights with you.
Of course, and with our listeners.
Absolutely. And if this deep dive has sparked your curiosity, I encourage you to explore the source material further.
Definitely check out Alan Schoonmaker's work.
Yes, he's a great resource.
And remember, whether you're a seasoned card shark or just starting to explore the world of poker, the most important game is the one you play against yourself.
Words to live by.
Thanks for joining us on the Deep Dive.
Thanks for having me.
Until next time, may all your bets be calculated.
Right.
Your bluffs undetectable.
Good luck with that.
And your tilts minimal.